the time for all ages. So I want to encourage all young at heart to come up. Dane Oliveira is going to do the story. As long as you're young at heart.
Good morning.
This selection, this story I'm going to share with you this morning is called The Crowbird. It is a Jataka tale translated by Margot McLaughlin. Jataka is a Pali word meaning birth story. In the Jataka tales, the bodhisattva, one committed to awakening, is seen performing or perfecting the qualities that led to his full awakening as the Buddha. So, yeah, the bodhisattva, had a little bit of work to do first, and then became the Buddha of our era. And this is a story about his time. Once in the past, the bodhisattva came into being as a crow. Now in those days, just as in these days, a crow would make its living however it could. Scavenging and foraging inside the walls of the city and outside and in the villages and in the towns and in the fields. One morning the king's high priest left early and went out by the eastern gate and down to the holy river, the Ganges, to bathe. When he had bathed, he put on a fresh muslin white robe and returned to turn to the city. There were two crows sitting on the gate. One crow said to another, to the other, "I have an idea. I shall let some droppings fall on the head of the shiny bald head of the Brahmin." "That," said the other crow. "The Brahmin is a lord. If his anger is aroused, that would be the destruction of all the crows." The first one shrugged his shoulders. "I don't mind, sir," he said. "I have to do it." "Well, then," said the second crow, "we'll see what happens." And with that, he flew away. Sure enough, just as the king's high priest came below the gate that the crows were at, the crow, setting forth into flight, let some droppings fall right on the Brahmin's shiny, bald head. The priest, looking up, saw the source of his humiliation, a black-winged crow. Anger was born. Just don't do any droppings, okay? All right. You're helping me this time, right? Oh, cool. Do the crow thing again. Thank you, Papa. The black-winged crow, anger was born in the heart, and he set himself to take revenge upon all crows. Now, totally unrelated to this particular situation, at another time, there was a girl, a handmaiden, guarding the rice outside the granary sheds, not far from the king's elephant stables. She had spread the rice on the ground in the sun to dry, and there she sat at the door of the shed guarding it. Now, the day was hot, and it wasn't long before the girl fell asleep. A long-haired goat, wandering about, noticed that the girl was off her guard. He came up and began to nibble and chew on the rice. The sound of his shuffling and chewing woke the girl up. And she shooed him away. Oh, I'm sorry. She sat herself down one again, and again she fell asleep. The goat came back a second time. And she shooed him away again. The girl said to herself, thinking, "This goat, returning again and again, will eat up half the rice and then I am sure to lose my wages." She went to a nearby cooking fire, and from it took a smoldering stick. Holding the stick by one end, she returned to her seat and pretended to fall asleep when she heard the goat begin to nibble once more. The girl stood up and flung the burning stick, striking the long hair on the back of his body, which immediately caught fire. With his body burning, the goat went leaping and jumping right to the elephant stables, where he then proceeded to roll on the pile of straw. The straw blazed up. The stables caught on fire. And before the fire could be put out, many of the elephants had been badly burned. The king's elephant doctors could find no cure for the wounds on the elephants' backs. The king was distressed, for his elephants were his pride and joy. He said to his high priest, "Do you know any cure for the wounds on my elephants' backs?" "Your Majesty, I do," said the high priest. "Crow's fat."
"Crow's fat?"
said the king. "Ah, yes," explained the Brahmin. "'Tis an ancient remedy. Only you will have to slaughter a great many crows if you want enough fat to heal the wounds of on the elephants' backs."
"Very well," said the king. "Let the crows be killed and their fat obtained."
On that day, there was a great slaughter of crows in the city. Their bodies were gathered in carts and taken to the king's kitchens, where they were boiled in great iron pots. So little fat was obtained as to be almost of no use at all. Yet the slaughter continued, and great fear was born in the crows. The fear of death. One of the city crows came to the forest and told the Bodhisattva what was happening in the city. The Bodhisattva reflected, "Besides myself, there is no other who can cure my kinsmen of their fear." He called to mind the 10 perfections: generosity, virtue, renunciation, patience, energy, wisdom, truthfulness, resolve, loving kindness, and equanimity. Choosing loving kindness as his guide, he flew through the forest and over the gates of the city, right to the king's palace, where he entered by an open window. Alighting before the king's empty seat, he sat himself beneath it. The king was just entering the chamber as a serving man came forward to capture and remove the crow. But the king said,
No, let him be.
The Bodhisattva, recovering himself, once more called up his loving kindness. He stepped up from under the king's throne and addressed the king.
Your Majesty, said the Bodhisattva, "I too am a king. A great fear has been borne upon my people, the fear of death.
Is it not true, Your Majesty, that the king should do everything in his power for the well-being of his own people?" The king was amazed to be addressed by such a creature. But he nodded, and the Bodhisattva continued. "Your Majesty," he said, "the king's high priest has fallen under the influence of anger. He has spoken an untruth. He has told you that the crow's fat will heal the wounds on your elephants' backs, but the truth is that crows have no fat at all." The king was so moved that he ordered that a royal seat be given to the king of the crows. He addressed him by saying, "Wise one, tell me more. How is it that crows have no fat?" The Bodhisattva answered, "With fear in their hearts forever, as scavengers and foragers often persecute it, we can never rest. There is not one source of fat for crows." The Bodhisattva then instructed the king on non-violent and non-harming ways and other very important precepts. He asked for the end of the slaughter and the protection for all creatures. Both the king agreed to this and the other, and in addition, he offered the Bodhisattva a kingdom. But he was only a crow, and what would a crow do with a kingdom? And so he gave it back. Bidding farewell to the king, he flew back to the forest, where he gathered about him the crows of the forest. The crows in the villages, the crows of the fields, the crows of the city. And he said to them, "You see how one unguarded impulse arising in the mind causes so much suffering for so many." Then he spoke this verse, quivering, wavering this mind, hard to guard and hard to protect, the wise one makes it straight, like the fletcher, the arrow shaft. Two things then. Number one, the unguarded moment, the unguarded decision, and how many will it affect? Be you a girl trying to shoo away a goat? A king listening to bad advice? Or a crow pooping on somebody's head? The second is, where does this come from? Where does the unguarded mind come from? And in many cases, it comes from fear. What is that fear? So, my children, when you go to your class this morning, give those ideas a thought, and you're going to have some really cool stuff to do when you go. Thank you.